everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, I want to welcome you to the show. It's about 11 a.m. Pacific time on the 3rd of February here in the year of our Lord 2026. And happy February. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you. I want to let you know that we are over in the chat room. You can find me over there by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. That is a private group, so you'll need to join it if you haven't before. And then you can comment there and be a part of the conversation. I also want to let you know that I'm live streaming this event if you'd rather watch than listen. And you can do that by heading over to 12radio.com. Now, why do I always do that? By heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. And I did, in the chat room, I did share a link to the live stream. So should be simple enough to find. See some chatters filing in. So I want to say hello to everybody. Oh, how'd that full moon sit on you? Look at my new shirt. It says, vote like your daughter's rights depend on it. I love it a lot. I got one too. And if you know, you know on this one. But it says, welcome to the Night Court. And then at the bottom it says Valeris, City of Starlight. And again, if you know, you know. If you don't, it's because you don't read the same books I do. Oh gosh, I hope you guys are well. That full moon was something. I feel like the last few full moons we've had have been a little bit harsh, but this one was really watery, really emotional, not harsh per se, but whew, it still packed a wallop over here, you know, in the world of, well, my poor husband. I joke because, you know, Scott's a Scorpio, Mars is a Scorpio, so I've said for years, like, someone save me. But I gotta say, that moon worked me over. Someone should probably save Scott. But luckily, he's kind of a tough guy, so he'll probably be okay. But it was so beautiful here, too. We were driving when it was rising. And you could just see, and it was cloudy, but it just managed to peek through. But you could just see over the mountains, not too far from where we were, just this little light starting to bloom. And I was like, well, that's got to be the moon. And then within just a really short time, it was halfway up and then up. It seemed like it happened really fast, but whew, it was enormous where we sat. Just enormous. Pretty cool. So, and we were on our way home from Boise because we went down for the weekend because the girls and a couple of their friends were hosting a Galentine's Day party, a favorite things party to be exact. And it was so nice. It was so fun. So it was their friend Michaela's house. So the girls, well, Micah's best friend Braxton is getting married and Michaela is his, fiance, and she's gotten to be really good friends with my girls, and so it was, they just bought a new house, so it was at their house. It was so cute. She had her house all decorated up cute for Valentine's Day and had a whole spread of, you know, snacky things laid out and made espresso martinis that were killer. And so it was a favorite things party, so I'll tell you about this in case you want to replicate it sometime. It was kind of a fun idea. So for the favorite things party, you bring three of one of your favorite things. I brought a basket of things, but, you know, three of something to share. And then you can, you know, tell the group why you love this so much and why it's something that's your favorite. And then they put out a bag for everybody. And then you put your favorite things in bags. So everybody got a few favorite things. It was just fun. So I brought these cute little Valentine's Day baskets, and I put in them my favorite tea, which is Constant Comment, and my favorite chocolate, which is Florence's. And Florence's is a local company here. And I love Florence's for lots of reasons. Their chocolate's amazing. But when I was a little girl, Florence's was right around the corner from my dad's barber shop. And they imported their chocolate from Switzerland. And in fact, every year they'd go on a big trip to meet with their chocolate people and order all their chocolate for the year. And it was just a big deal. And so their chocolate's amazing because it doesn't have all the wax and shit in it that, US chocolate tends to. So at any rate, they had a viewing window, so you could go into their chocolate shop and watch the ladies in there making all the chocolates, dipping them and, doing all the fancy things. And as kids, we used to think that was the most amazing thing in the world. But also, you could just buy chocolate from them. So you didn't have to buy chocolates, though you could, but you could just take a little bit of money in there and ask for, like, for example, we'd go in the barber shop and my dad would give us his change. So we might each show up in there with 50 cents. And you could just ask if you could buy 50 cents worth of white chocolate or dark chocolate or milk chocolate. And they had big blocks sitting there, and they'd shave a little chocolate off the big block and weigh it and put it in a little bag for you. And then we'd go ride our bikes to the park and eat all of our chocolate. So, depending on how much money your dad gave you, but I'll tell you that 50 cents worth of chocolate was a fair amount when I was a kid. That was enough for a kid. Anyway, a core memory for me, we used to absolutely love to do that. And then, also their chocolates are well known around here and special. And so I bought boxes of Florence's chocolates for everybody for mine. And then I made mugs. So I made mugs that were like the Aurora Borealis design, like glaze pattern that I really like. So yeah, that was super fun. And I came home with this cute little handmade bag from one of the girls' friends, and that had a cute little heart pin in it that she made it all just hand sewed, cute stuff. And then some Korean skincare. I'm kind of terrified of it because my skin's so sensitive and rude, but Korean skincare is supposed to be amazing, so I'm gonna give it a very careful go and see how I do with it. Yeah. It was just fun. It was a fun idea and it was a fun little party. So I was glad I went. And Boise was gorgeous in the 50s, beautiful weather. The dogs were thrilled. I mean, it's pretty warm here too, but it was a little warmer there. So that's what I've been up to, besides getting ready for an oddities market. Oh my gosh. So we're doing a fair. It's just Scott and me this time. And it's oddities. So this is a really good place for all of his like weird baby cups and planters and lamps and all that kind of stuff that he does, all of his ceramic stuff. But that's probably not enough, so we've been working on a few other things to go with it. I made a few sets of bones. If you read Luminous last week, you know what I'm talking about, but I made a few bone sets. I should have brought them to show you today. I didn't bring them in. But we also ordered beetles and made these little like glass encased beetle disc things that are cool. I brought no show and tell in here. I should have brought all kinds of things. And then the other thing, I actually do have this in front of me, but I saw someone else do these. It's like stained glass, but I saw someone else do these and I thought they were really cute and that I could do them. So I found a butterfly farm that harvests their butterflies after they perish. And so I ordered a bunch of butterflies from them. So you just take the wings and you press them in between two pieces of prism glass. And then this, I'll just foil this and we'll solder it together and put a little hanger on it. But isn't that pretty? A little bit different design on the back, too. Butterflies, a lot of them, one side of them is totally different than the other. But so to do this, you can't have the body in there, obviously. This is flat. So I had to remove the body from the wings. Oh my God, I was horrified. I felt like some mean little kid that pulls the wings off of flies and stuff like that. It was awful. I wanted to run away screaming. But worse, I left the body in like the little foam thing that they come mounted on the table because I'm just like that, I guess. So I was already horrified. And then the next day I came by cleaning off the table because we were hosting dinner. And there was that butterfly body and I had to touch it again. And I don't know, you guys, I know that's crazy, but it traumatized me. I was running screaming out of the room. I know. But it was horrifying. But I wanted to show you some of these butterflies because they're so cool. I wanted to try to get, purchase things that were harvested in a way that I didn't feel horrible about. These guys claim, and I know you can only go on what they say, but they claim that they are a farm and that their butterflies are all harvested after they perish on their own. So hopefully it's true, but do you want to see my butterflies? I knew you did. They're really cool. Look at this one. Do you see how cool that is? It's like teal. It's really pretty. I can't wait to get this one out and mount it because I'm really curious to see if the underside of those wings look the same or if they don't. Lillian, that would bother you? Yeah. See, now I gotta do the rest of them and I'm gonna make Scott do it. Just kidding. I probably won't because he's got his own stuff to do. Look how pretty this is. I have thumbed through these butterflies multiple times because I am in love with them. They're so pretty. So hopefully I'm just able to do them a little bit of justice by mounting their beautiful wings and making something beautiful out of them. Hopefully. Looks, oh, you can't even see that one. It's more of a white, like a light yellow cream color. You can't really see it in this lighting. This one is probably my favorite. Look at that. Gorgeous, right? Oh. But now I have to rip the wings off the body and ruin my life. It'll be fine. It's probably fine. This one, there were two of these, and the other one we mounted in convex glass, and it is a different design on the back. And it's cool. That's another really, isn't that funny? Those really light colored ones. Oh, if I tip it like that, you can kind of get a sense of it. But they're just white and yellow, and you just can't see them. It's like handling fur coats. Yeah. Can't do that. And that black one. Anyway, so that's some of the stuff that we're working on. I'm actually kind of excited for the oddities market until I realized this week that it's on Super Bowl Sunday. Who the hell planned that? And why did I sign up? Okay. It's not the worst thing in the world to miss the Super Bowl. I can live with that. It's just that are people going to come? Hard to say. I think that's a little troublesome. So, anyway, I don't know. We'll find out. If not, then all these will just be on Etsy. And if you're not too totally sicked out and horrified by them, I am making something beautiful, damn it. No, they're going to be fine. Yeah. Oh, I know. Miss the Super Bowl. Okay. What the fuck? The Patriots again? I never, ever in my whole lifetime wanted to see another Super Bowl with the Patriots in it. Ever. Ever. But apparently, it's gonna happen. So, not a fan. Yeah, 23-year-old quarterback. Crazy. But we're Seahawks fans. We always have been. So, I'm going to yell for the Seahawks either way. But also, Mars, one of her college coach that she was her coach and then that she was the assistant coach for, Erica, her brother-in-law plays for the Seahawks. And he's been on the practice squad. Well, he was on the practice squad 2 years ago. Last year he was too, but he did get pulled up and played a few games. And this year he also started on the practice squad, but got pulled up and has played quite a bit. And he's playing in the Super Bowl, a Montana kid. So that's really fun too. But obviously, we'll just keep an eye on it from our phones. But I kind of wish that I had realized it was the Super Bowl. I might not have registered for this fair, but life goes on, and here we are. Like grown-ups that have to work and do things regardless of what's going on. Anyway, I hope that you guys are well. So I have, I think, a fun topic today and a fun Luminous. Last week, if you read Luminous, you know that I was talking about making sets of bones, throwing bones, which if you read that, you know that there's a few bones in a throwing bone set, but there's a lot of other things as well, trinkets and crystals and various items that you might want or that you might think would be good in it. So it's not all bones by any stretch. In fact, there's probably most sets only have a handful of bones in them, and they have all a bunch of other things. So anyway, and I wrote that last week because I was making some bone sets and thinking about bones and throwing bones and stuff. So I thought that would be a fun topic. But it brought me this week to a topic about divination for love, because we know that there has been different divination processes for time immemorial during over every culture has had some sorts of divination process. And divination for love is a thing that has been a thing again since the beginning of time. So I thought it would be fun to explore some of the practices around divination and talk about it. So if you did not already receive it, I put a link in the chat rooms, but Luminous is the magazine that I publish every Tuesday morning with some help from my friends here in the 1-2 world, and my sister Christy. So let's get into it. Okay. All righty. So I call this week's magazine and the episode Love Foretold. Even if you're not doing love divination for yourself, it's a fun topic. It's an interesting topic. And Valentine's Day is just next week, so this is where we are. Hey, Sherry. It's good to have everybody here. JR. Kev, Laura, Lillian, Suzanne, Tara. Tara, how is your son? I've been thinking about him. Good to have everyone in the chat. All right. All right. Well, across time, people have pretty much asked the same questions. Will I be loved? Is this the right person? Is my heart safe here? I still answer those questions over at 1-2Listen on a daily, right? It's a big deal. This is something that people love, and relationships are things that people have been going through, coping with, experiencing since the beginning of time. And long before there were dating apps or self-help, there was divination. Not necessarily to control love, though I'm sure some tried, But to understand it, to listen, to make a good decision, right? Or maybe to put a balm on some loneliness and things like that. Tara said he's home and getting better every day. Thank God. I am so sorry you guys went through that. My gosh. All right. Well, let's take a look. So, in ancient Greek and Rome, it was common for people to consult oracles and cast lots to ask about marriage, devotion, and long-term partnership. Love was considered part of a fate, whether the fates brought you love or they did not. In ancient Egypt, love divination came through dreams. People would write a name or a question and put it beneath their pillow before sleep, or sometimes put an effigy that represented perhaps a person or a situation, and put it under their pillow before sleep and trust the night to deliver a message. So they did not believe that dreams were random. They believed that they were messages and sacred spaces where the divine could speak. But what happens if you have a nightmare? I guess that's the answer, huh? I guess. Okay. One of my favorite, there's a lot of folk magic around love divination. One of my favorite ones is the chestnuts on the hearth. So two chestnuts would be placed near the fire, each of them representing a person or a relationship, or sometimes multiple chestnuts that represented multiple people. And how the chestnuts behave tells the story. So if they burn steadily, it might suggest mutual affection. If one pops or rolls away, it might hint at uneven feelings. So perhaps you put the person you're interested in there and he, that chestnut pops and rolls off the hearth. That might mean he is trying to get away from you. Not interested, right? Both that burst dramatically could mean that they this is going to be chaos, drama in a relationship, or that there might just be a lot of passion in this relationship. It's kind of one of those practices where you have to preordain what's going to happen. So, for example, maybe you take multiple chestnuts and you assign a name to each of them. Perhaps you're just popular like that. And you have multiple suitors or potentials. Maybe you assign a name to each one of those, and whichever one pops open first is the one that you should choose. You have to preordain these things. You have to know. It's kind of like with a pendulum, right? You have to decide, what do these things mean for me? Another common hearth practice is burning bay leaves. So a name or a question would be written on a leaf and burned. And then you'd evaluate how the leaf burned to decide what it meant. So a clean burn meant clarity. Crackling or resistance to the burn suggested obstacles or emotional complexity. And again, it's one of those things where you may have to preordain and decide what does it mean if this or that happens before you do it. Right, that's where the Christmas song gets its inspiration from. Chestnuts by an open fire. Yeah. People read candle flames. We've talked about this lots of times, but this is actually a divination source. It has been for many centuries. People read candle flames, probably many millennia, watching for steadiness, flickering sparks, or smoke. So again, there's no strict rules about it. It's being intuitive. You don't just watch the flame, you feel it, you take it in, you trust your intuition as you are watching the flame and experiencing whatever it's doing whilst asking your question. You may write your question down and put it under the candle, or you may carve your question or something that symbolizes it on the side of a candle, or write it in a pen if you want to. I don't care. That's up to you. But those are all forms of folk magic that I think are super interesting when it comes to seeking love. Kitchen magic. Well, yes. So apples were sacred to love and fertility across Europe. People counted seeds to predict marriage, tossed apple peels to reveal initials, or roasted apples to watch how they split. So, cutting into an apple and counting the seeds may give you some insight into more of a yes-no question. If there's a certain amount of seeds or more versus less, that may be the answer to your question. Now, we've talked about this one before, the apple peels to reveal initials. So what people would do is you try to peel an apple starting at the top, like with a thin little paring knife, and you cut a thin bit of the skin, and you go round and around and around, and the goal is to keep it thin but also not cut it off, because what you really want is to peel the entire thing in one big peel, right? One big long loop, or maybe a couple. And then you ask who your true love is, or who you should pursue, or who you should allow, or whatever your question is, as you throw it over your shoulder. And then you evaluate how the apple peel landed to look at the potential initials of that person or other symbols that you might see in the way the apple peel fell for your answer. Or if you have one of those handy dandy apple peelers like I do that peels it exactly like that, you could get a good long string that way too. I know, wild. But it's how things were done. And then roasted apples to see how they split. Again, you would have some preordained idea of if this happens, that's what it would mean, you know, kind of thing. Some traditions, bread, cakes, or dumplings were baked with hidden tokens inside. I mean, think about king cakes, right? A ring meant marriage. A coin meant prosperity. A clove or a thorn hinted at heartbreak. What the hell? We're putting cloves or thorns in cakes so that someone gets that piece and it means they're going to get their heart broken? A thorn? I mean, a clove, that would taste terrible if you bit into it, but you know, it wouldn't hurt you. But a thorn? I don't know about that. But also, like, that just makes me nervous. Who wants that piece of cake? Now, lots of people bake, they have traditions about baking something into a baked good for holiday sake. We've heard these things before, but that's always an interesting one to me. All right. Nature, as a matchmaker, nature's always been a part of love divination. And I promise you, likely as a child did flower divination. Did you ever pluck the flower petals and say, even if you weren't talking about a specific person, but just doing this because you saw someone else do it, pulling off the petals and saying, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not." And when you get down to that very last petal, he either loves you or he loves you not. And that's your answer, right? That was divination. I bet you didn't know you were doing magic. Trees. were also believed to witness love. Knots were tied in the roots for marriage magic. Wishes were whispered into the hollows. Bark patterns were read for signs. It is true that trees understand patience and time passing, much more than most of us. How about water and mirrors for scrying? I know some people scry. I know people who scry and do it well. I have never been a scryer. This does not work for me. Maybe I haven't tried hard enough. Maybe it's just not for me. That's been my take, because it's probably just not my cup of tea. But so if you can scry, more power to you. I think it's amazing. I wish I could do it. But it doesn't seem to be my thing. Cherry said, I'm afraid of what I would see. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I'd see those dead butterfly bodies. I don't know. Water and mirrors were used for scrying. Gazing into a bowl of water or a mirror by candlelight, people hoped to glimpse the face of a future lover. These practices were treated with respect. This was a big deal. Still is to some people. Mirrors and water were believed to thin the veil between worlds. I can respect that. I really can. I can see the value in that belief, the wisdom in that belief. Okay, how about cards, coins, and inner knowing? So as divination tools evolved, we know that tarot and oracle cards became a lot more popular ways to explore love. Again, not so much as a fixed fate, but more of truth. And that's how using cards to divine love are most effective, is just in asking what's true. Tarot doesn't tell us necessarily what will happen, but it shows us what's beneath the surface, which can really help in making a solid decision about relationships. How about Eastern traditions like the I Ching? This is love divination. Lots of I Ching is used for love divination, focused on harmony and balance. The question with the I Ching would not be, will this person love me or does this person love me, but is this aligned? Is this in alignment with my soul? Is this a part of my highest and best good? What do I need to know about this person or this situation? Modern love divination blends ancient tools with intuition. Things like pendulums, bibliomancy, song shuffles, journaling, and quiet moments of listening. Again, the tools change. They've changed over time, but the questions, they're pretty much the same. Pretty much the same. All right, so let's talk about some suggested practices to try for fun, for interest. Chestnuts by the hearth. If you have a hearth and you have chestnuts, I have neither. Though I could put chestnuts, you could put it on a hot plate or on a hot pan. Like I'm thinking about a cast iron pan on my stove, you know, that just gets turned up a certain degree. And just let them heat, obviously safely and keeping an eye on it. But if you have a fireplace or a fire safe space, place two chestnuts near the heat, each representing a person or a possibility, and observe what happens and notice how it makes you feel. Again, you're going to decide before they break what it will likely mean, right? You make the rules, so make them. This is how divination frequently works. You make the rules beforehand, and then you intuit what happens. You observe what happens, and then you trust your intuition to guide you in what this means for you. The bay leaf love question. Write a name or a question on a bay leaf and then burn it safely and watch how it burns. Let intuition guide the interpretation. candle flame reading. Light a candle, ask a simple question, and watch the flame. Steady flickering or sparking can each carry meaning. The apple peel divination, we already talked about how to do this, but I think this is kind of an interesting one to see what happens. Once you have tossed that peel over your shoulder, you're looking for letters, symbols, or impressions. How about flower petals? You've already done this at some point in your life, I can almost promise you. Pluck petals slowly and mindfully. Let the process be meditative rather than anxious. Now, it could be argued that flower petal divination could be a form of yes-no divination. And yes-no is way less common, other than pendulums, than everything else is. So, if you want to sacrifice that many flowers, you could use it as yes-no divination. Water or mirror scrying. Gaze softly into water or a mirror in low light. This is the key. You have to be in low light that is not shining right in your eyes, that's not right in your eye line. So gaze softly into water or a mirror in low light. Keep it brief and grounded. If you stare at your mirror or your water for a long time, you're going to lose the plot. So just try it. If something comes through for you, great. If nothing does, that's cool too. But don't stare at your water forever. That will just frustrate you. Tarot or card pull. Of course, we've talked about this a lot. So if you want better answers, you have to ask better questions. And in tarot and card pulls, the question is really, really important. And asking it correctly is really important. And that could be argued as part of all divination, really. But it's always worth working on your questions and considering them well before you ask them. Questions like, what does this connection want me to learn? Or what do I need to know about this friendship or this connection or this person? Or what do I need to understand about the potential of a relationship with this person? Or for those that are already in a relationship, perhaps it's more of a question about, what do I need to understand about this person's energy? Or what do I need to understand about this person's thought process? There's lots of things you can ask. You just have to ask the right question. How about bibliomancy? We've talked about bibliomancy before. We've done not last year, but the year before, we did an entire year of bibliomancy with Kathleen Peterson's book. If you recall, at the end of every show, we would ask what Kathleen wants us to know, and we'd flip that book open, and whatever master ascended master we landed on, we would read that chapter. That's bibliomancy. So if you're using it for love, obviously you should be intentional about what book you're choosing that you feel like would offer you some good guidance on this front. Then you open a favorite book, whatever one you've chosen, just to a random page while you're thinking about your love question. And then trust what stands out from that page. Bibliomancy is fascinating. It's pretty interesting to see what comes through. In other terms, love divination has been around for time immemorial. The practices survive because they offer comfort in uncertain times. They sometimes help us to, again, ask the right questions. They help us to consider things from multiple sides. They help people to remember that love is worth hoping for, even when nothing feels guaranteed, as it typically doesn't. But divination for love is something that has been done forever and will be done forever. In some capacity. Oh. Tara said her husband got so mad at her for talking about bibliomancy in church with their son. Well, I mean, to be fair, in the religion I was raised in, they didn't call it bibliomancy, but I was taught a belief in just opening your scriptures and just flipping them open and reading whatever page you land on for a message from spirit or from God. I mean, I think that a lot of churches practice bibliomancy without calling it that. Personal opinion, but I know I was taught to do that in the Mormon church. So, I don't know. Perhaps it's a thing. All right. Moving on. Kelly has this is her same article from last year, but if you didn't read it, it's certainly worth it. This is the Astrology of 2026 with Goddess Guidance, and it was awesome. So she'll be back with new content next week, but this is what we've got this week. But again, if you didn't read her article last week, highly recommend you do it this week. All right. My tip this week is how to make homemade rose water. I've given you this tip before, but around Valentine's Day, it always feels pertinent again. You could do this anytime, obviously, but and of course, I always bring it to you during the cold months where you certainly don't have fresh roses, but it's important to try to get organic rose petals if you can. I gather mine in the mountains for this reason, because I know that there's no pesticides up in there, but you can order dried organic rose petals online, or you can harvest from the things that you raise if you know that you're not putting pesticides and stuff on them. But if you're going to condense your rose petals down, you really don't want chemicals and stuff on these, if at all possible. So, but here's how you do it. So, a small saucepan. You're going to add 8 ounces of water and about a half a cup of dried organic rose petals. Bring it to a boil and then turn it down and simmer it on low for about 30 minutes. And then cool it and strain it. Do strain it well because if you have any more organic matter in it, it makes it go bad faster. So you really want to strain it well. You're going to store it in the fridge in an airtight glass jar. So, what do you do with rose water? Some people like to use it like a toner on their face. It's really nice for your skin. Not only does it smell good, it does a good job in helping to reduce pores and just clean your face. So, some people like to do it like that. If you're doing that, some people also like to mix it with witch hazel if you're going to use it for a toner. Totally up to you. Even just to store it and strain it in the fridge, some people like to put a little vodka in it just to keep it fresher longer. Totally your choice. Rose water is sometimes used in cooking. There are certain traditions that use a lot of rose water in cooking, Persian traditions, other Middle Eastern traditions. And I'm sure there's more, but that's what's coming to me right now. Yeah, rose is really good for sensitive skin. Yes. I can use rose and I can't use much. So, yes, totally agree. You can use your rose water in a spray bottle to spray around your house to raise the frequency of your space. Roses are the highest vibrating flower. And so, when you are trying to raise the frequency of a space, roses do a great job for that. I like rose water like that, sprayed on your sheets. If you open your bed like 30 minutes before you're going to get into it and lightly mist your sheets, and then leave the bed open so they can dry because who wants to get into a moist bed? Ugh, gross. I don't even like that I said that. But at any rate, that you can use them that way as well. Lots and lots of uses for your rose water, but that's how you do it. Now, you can purchase rose hydrosol, which is a similar thing, not exactly the same. Rose hydrosol, and Jade Bloom has a beautiful one if you're looking for one, but rose hydrosol is the byproduct of making rose essential oil. So when they s distill the rose petals, essentially, it takes a lot of water, and the water that comes off of it is the hydrosol. And so it's not exactly the same as making rose water the way I taught you, but because you could only do it, you would only get rose hydrosol if you have a still. So if you don't have a still, and I would wager that 99% of you don't have a still, maybe 100. So if you don't have a still, this is an easy way to do it. If you do have a still, the bad news is it takes an enormous amount of rose petals to get a tiny amount of rose oil. It's why rose oil is insanely expensive, because the amount of product it takes is overwhelming. But it does produce a lot of hydrosol, and the hydrosol smells amazing. So if you'd rather purchase rose hydrosol, that's what rose hydrosol is. And it's a beautiful product. And the same kinds of uses I'm describing for rose water, you do the same things with rose hydrosol. And by the way, Jade Bloom has multiple hydrosols, but their sandalwood hydrosol, oh, I love that. I like to blend the rose and the sandalwood hydrosol for a room spray, for a bed, like a linen spray. Oh, yes, ma'am. Love it. And I did change all of the art, you probably noticed, to Valentine's Day types things. Christy's energy exercise this week is an energy boost. This is a great one if you feel like you just need to rise up a little bit, feel good, feel better. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. You know how it is. Recently, there has been a push in certain communities, particularly in Houston, to really crack down on rideshare crimes. And so we studied it on the show a little bit and talked about all of the different ways you need to keep yourself safe. You should, the things you should do to keep yourself safe if you are taking a rideshare. And it's always worth just revisiting that conversation. I've always been curious about this, because we just hop in cars with strangers and we think it's just fine. And wildly, it frequently is, most of the time. Between Lyft and Uber, they have billions of logged rides a year. Billions. And they're logging a few thousand incidences of violence. But a few thousand is still too many. So I shared this on that show, but I'm going to share it here too, because I think it's smart to just always consider safety. And, you know, if you know me at all, you know that I'm going to lecture you about safety until the cows come home, because I love you, and because there's lots of things we don't think about when it comes to safety that we should. So these are some rideshare safety tips, particularly for women, but they're really for everybody. Verify the car and driver. Don't be in too big of a hurry, and I don't care how big of a hurry they are in. We were in Salt Lake this summer and called an Uber, and our driver was in this huge hurry trying to just usher us into the car as quickly as possible. I mean, remember, the quicker they deliver you to their destination, the quicker they can get on to their next one. So they're more than happy to rush you through the process and get you in the car and get going. But so might a bad guy, right? So absolutely not. You verify the car and the driver, meaning you use the app and you check the license plate and the driver photo against what the app says before you ever climb in that car. It's also not good enough to say, I don't know. It was a white car. So I'll, yeah, it's a white car. Let's go. No, ma'am. You take the time and you do the investigation. Part of the reason why is obviously to make sure that you actually get in the car you're supposed to get in. But the other part of that is to make sure that whatever car you're getting in, the driver knows that you're no dummy, right? That you are not distracted. You are not taking chances. You are paying attention. People don't mess around as often. Predators don't mess around with people that they think are going to be a problem. So make sure that you're a problem. Share your trip, particularly if you are by yourself. Always share your trip. The app, both of them have an option for you to share your trip with somebody else. So make sure that somebody knows where you are, that you are taking a ride share, and here's your trip so that they can keep an eye on it too and make sure that you get home. Sit in the back seat. Don't get talked into sitting in the front seat unless you have a large party and someone has to sit up front. You are smarter to sit in the back seat. And in fact, it has been said that the experts say that you're smart to sit in the back seat behind the driver or the passenger seat so that you have a direct line of sight to the driver so that you can see them and see what they are doing. No headphones, no distractions, no sleeping, no getting lost in your phone. You pay attention, you stay alert, and you stay aware of the route. You don't have to chat it up with the driver if you don't want to. However, it is wise to make it clear that you're aware of the route. You say a few things like, I noticed that they're building a new Home Depot over there, or wow, traffic is heavy today on the 95, or whatever. But you call out a few things that make it clear to the driver that you're paying attention to landmarks and that you're very aware of where you are. Because again, predators are a lot less likely to pull something with you if they think that you're paying attention. So, by God, pay attention. Trust your instincts. End the ride if you feel unsafe. And I noticed Tara in the chat said that she's asked to be dropped off somewhere other than home before because she felt unsafe. If you think the driver something isn't cool, no, pull over, let me out. I'm done. I promise you, whatever you paid for that ride is not worth your life. It isn't worth your safety. It isn't worth your well-being. Last year for spring break, my girls went to Nashville with some friends, and at one point, well, they lived on Ubers the whole time they were there. But at one point, they had ordered an Uber and they had a big party. So Mars ended up in the front seat. So everyone else had already gotten in the back. Mars opened the front seat to discover that the entire floor of the front seat was full of empty beer cans. And that there was a partially, what appeared to be a partially empty beer can in the center console. And she looked in the eyes of the driver and looked at all those beer cans and looked at him again, and he got really flustered. And she said, yeah, we're not going anywhere with you. She asked the other girls to get out of the car, and she told him, you have been drinking and we're not getting in your car. So they canceled the ride and they reported him to Uber, and of course he sped away angry. Had she not gotten in the front seat, she wouldn't have even known. She wouldn't have even known that that guy had been drinking and was driving people around. You aren't here to be nice. You're here to have a safe ride. So if the ride is not playing out to be safe, you get the hell out. We don't care if we hurt somebody's feelings. We don't care if we're rude about it. We don't care, right? Know the safety features. Know the safety features of the app. There is a 911 button. Use it if you need to. The scarier part of the 911 button is that people always second guess themselves, right? When is it bad enough? When is it scary enough? When is the situation concerning enough? If it's concerning, that's concerning enough. Do you know that the police would much rather respond to something that turns out to be a false alarm than dragging your dead body out of a canal? You know? Of course they would. They would love to respond to things that turn out to be a false alarm. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't worry about it being bad enough. If you aren't comfortable, if you feel like something's off the rails, if your driver isn't taking you on the route you're supposed to be on, they're not taking you to the place they're supposed to be taking you, that's bad enough. And this goes without saying, I think, to this group, but I'll say it anyway, because what we have found is that the one of the very common threads in women who have been assaulted in rideshares is being inebriated, which really sucks because why do people call a rideshare? Well, so that they're have a ride home after drinking is a really common one, right? People do this all the time. Hey, we're going to go to the bar. Awesome. Let's take a rideshare so nobody has to drive. Nobody has to be the DD. That's fine. What is not fine is pouring your super drunk friend into a rideshare all alone and sending them home. You cannot do that. Be a girl's girl and go with her. You can't be putting people who cannot defend themselves in a car with a stranger. I don't care if they've been vetted by Uber or Lyft or not. But unfortunately, being inebriated is one of the reasons. Not reasons. People get assaulted because people are evil. That's the reason. Right, because people are terrible. But one of the bigger safety concerns is getting into ride shares and not being capable of following rules such as the ones I've just laid out. And again, I don't think that's the crowd I'm talking to right now, but we're being safe and smart, so we're having the conversation. And that's Mama's lecture on rideshare safety. All right. Back to Luminous for just a minute. There's lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. Lots of great ones for background music for meditation if you just need a little bit of meditative time, or if you just want some healthy or healing music in your house while you're going about your day. Any of that is helpful. And that is what I have for Luminous. So hopefully you find some gems in there. And that's it for me today. Otara said, "Don't get me started on nights of taking care of my girlfriends. Nothing is happening on my watch, right?" Damn right. Jane said she also has had to ask to get dropped off around the corner from home because the taxi driver was being weird. Yeah. Yep. Nope. Nope. Taking a rideshare is not a dating opportunity. It isn't. Alrighty, guys. Don't forget that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there every single day. I would love to connect with you and help you out if there's anything I can do. I will be back next week, same place, same time. And until then, please take great care of yourselves. You're worth it. Thanks for being a part of my world. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And you're worth all the good things. I hope you know that. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world.